Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. The disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying,
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Thank you, Penny, for beautiful. You Raise Me Up. Love that song. You'll be probably a little weary of this video, because I'm going to be sharing a series of sermons on the Beatitudes in the weeks and months ahead. It takes a couple of months to get through them. But are we having fun yet? Ziggy, the cartoon strip character, has a line that perhaps can serve as a motto of the times in which we live. Are we having fun yet? Is there anybody in this world that's truly happy? There was a Peanuts cartoon strip several years ago in which Lucy asked Charlie Brown if he had ever known anybody who was really happy. And before she could finish her sentence, however, Snoopy came dancing on tiptoe into the frame, his nose high in the air. And he danced and bounced his way across two frames of cartoon strip. And finally, in the last frame, Lucy finished her sentence, Have you ever really known anybody who was really happy and still in the right mind? Some years back, the editors of Psychology Today sent questionnaires to 52,000 subscribers in an effort to determine what makes people happy. And the response was somewhat confusing. One subscriber wrote back and asked to see the results of the survey. He said, I think I'm happy, but would you please verify? Samuel Johnson once wrote a story entitled Rosalys, in which the main character, an Abyssinian prince, lived on a mountaintop in peace and luxury. And he became dissatisfied with his walled-in existence and finally ventured out into the world to search for those persons who were altogether happy. And to his surprise and dismay, he discovered that no such person exists in this world. And he returned disillusioned to his home in Abyssinia. Again, I ask this morning, is there anyone in this world truly happy? Certainly, we know that many people are unhappy. Statistics prove this out. In the United States, we're confronted really with some very sobering statistics. As of 2002, we're told that at least every 15 minutes, one person kills themselves. And then every year, almost 800,000 people will be so unhappy with their lives that they will snuff out their very existence. God only knows how many more are living out their lives in quiet desperation. Again, I ask, is there anybody who is really happy? A friend once came to Harold Kushner, author of Why Bad Things Happen to Good People, and he said to him, two weeks ago, for the first time in my life, I went to the funeral of a man my own age. I didn't know him well, but we worked together, talked to each other from time to time, had kids about the same age. He died suddenly over the weekend. And a bunch of us went to the funeral, each of us thinking, you know, it could have easily happened to me. That was 2 weeks ago. They've already replaced him at the office. I hear his wife is moving out of state to live with her parents. 2 weeks ago, he was working 50 feet away from me. And now it's as if he never existed. It's like a rock falling into a pool of water. For a few seconds, it makes ripples in the water, and then the water is the same as it was before, but the rock isn't anymore. Rabbi, he said, I've hardly slept at all since then. And I can't stop thinking that it could happen to me. That one day, it will happen to me. And a few days later, I'll be forgotten as if I never lived. And then he asked a powerful question. Shouldn't a man's life be more than that? This man had just experienced what you would call a wake-up call. And for all of us, there are times like that when we're brought up short and we're left thinking disturbing questions like, shouldn't a person's life be more than that? Sure, it should be. And Jesus gives us some direction how it can be through what we call as the Beatitudes. Many modern translators of the New Testament translate Jesus' teachings known as the Beatitudes as happy. Happy are those instead of blessed. The Greek word here, makorai, means this, a joy which no one can take from us. Robert Shuler went so far as to call them the be happy attitudes. But please keep this one thing in mind as we go through this series of sermons, is that the Beatitudes isn't or aren't platitudes. Beatitudes aren't platitudes. They're real. They're prescriptions for a joy which no one can take from you. If Jesus did indeed mean in these teachings to be avenues to real happiness, then I think that it would be helpful for us to know about them, to understand them, and to make them our own. They seem to, however, when you really look at them or listen to them, to be so out of touch with what we consider to be happy. Happy are the merciful, the pure of heart, the peacemakers, those who persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, Jesus seems to go out of His way to turn our entire system of values or our understanding upside down. What is Jesus trying to communicate to us here about the nature of happiness? Well, the Beatitudes tells us that God isn't a cosmic killjoy, as some would like us to believe. He's not intent upon raining upon our parade. God wants us to be happy. And He gives us some principles that by which we can live and we can be happy. However, a surface reading of these principles can certainly leave us a little perplexed and confused. Speaking of confused, I heard about a young preacher was asked by a local funeral director to hold a graveside burial service at a small local cemetery. It's out in the country, one of the little country churches, and there was no family. There were no friends. It was just this person, and the funeral director said, you know, somebody's got to go out. We just can't just bury him. Well, as the young preacher was going out to try to find this out-of-the-way place, he got lost. And it took him some time to get back to where he was supposed to go, and he finally arrived very late, and he saw a backhoe and his crew, but the hearse was nowhere in sight. So he said, well, the director just had another commitment, had to leave. So he walked on out, and the workers were over under a shade tree eating lunch. And this diligent young pastor went to the open grave, and he found the vault lid already in place. And he took out his book, and he read the service, and he was feeling a little guilty because of his tardiness. And he decided to try to make up for it by preaching a passionate and a lengthy message. He did this person good. See, he sent this deceased person off in style. It was a shame nobody was there to hear it. But as he was returning back to his car, he overheard one of the workers say, you know, I've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years and I ain't never seen nothing like that. I've done stuff like that, believe me. Really confused. So, in order to clear up any confusion, let me go through real quickly two things that I think that happened and isn't, and then I'd like to share with you very quickly three things which I think happiness is. First of all, happiness doesn't consist of the pursuit of pleasure. You know, there are some who have preached for a long, long time what you would call a gospel of success that leads one to believe that happiness depends on who you are, what you have, what you own. There was an ad that appeared in USA Today several years ago about a certain automobile, and the ad began like this. Needless to say, you can't buy happiness, but for a mere almost $300, okay? $299, got it, a month. For $299 a month, you can lease exhilaration. Simply visit your authorized dealer before September 30th to lease this new car. But that wasn't it, all of it. After extolling the virtues of this automobile, the ad concluded like this. For a program of spiritual uplift, on easy monthly terms, we recommend you visit a participating dealer. Now, wow, it said for a program of spiritual uplift on easy monthly terms. Now, that's pretty good, isn't it? Ever since humans were kicked out of paradise, we've sought to recreate it, haven't we? Living in paradise is the ultimate. It was a recent movie, The Island, that centered upon something of this sort. It's centered upon residents of a seemingly utopian society, but they lived in a contained facility in the mid-21st century. And all the inhabitants of this utopian place of living, they all constantly were tantalized by this dream of winning the lottery. The lottery where they could go and live on the island that was the last uncontaminated spot on the planet. And here's a little clip from that.
Good morning, July 19th, 2019.
Another day in paradise. weather to Delta. Your time has come. You're moving out to the island.
Stark weather to Delta here. And as you know, the biggest dream of my life just came true. I mean, I've only been with you guys for like 6 months, but I won the lottery. That's right, Lee Starkweather, okay? To go out and breathe fresh air, swim in the ocean. I can't believe I won. You call me Mr. Popular. I know. It's me. You guys know I'm not like this, but this is just amazing. I'm going to the island. We're going to have so much fun. But I need to see you guys out there. You can do it. I won.
That was this week's lottery.
You got a disturbance on elevator 12, plaza level.
Just moments before his final departure to the island. Nature's last remaining pathogen-free zone.
Lucky guy, huh?
He can be a winner, too. The next lottery is tonight.
The next lottery is tonight.
How long have you been here?
Happiness doesn't consist in the pursuit of pleasure. Everybody wants to live on that island, but it's not there. I think we ought also to note that neither is happiness found in the avoidance of pain. Now, I'm not speaking of pain in the physical sense, but I'm speaking of pain that is oftentimes emotional and spiritual in nature. Now, happiness really is derived from the same root word as happenings, which really means that our happiness is dependent upon what's happening around us or to us. But more and more, I'm disturbed by the fact that so many of us seem to be led around by our feelings. Everything that we do is based upon how we feel, it seems like. At least I hear people use that word with a great deal of frequency. Well, I just don't feel like doing that. Or I don't feel like I should do that. I would warn you to be very careful about basing things upon the shallow, superficial level of whether or not it's pleasant to you or not. We want to seem like avoid anything that's uncomfortable or gets us outside of our comfort zone. So if we're the least bit frightened or disconcerted, then we don't take that step. But think of everything that you miss in life if you don't take that step outside. When LeBaron Briggs was the academic dean of Harvard, a graduate student came to his office to explain why he failed to complete his master's thesis on time. And the student told him, well, I haven't felt like doing it. Any teachers in here? Yeah, you hear that sometime? And Dean Briggs replied, young man, I think it's time you realize that most of the work done in this world is done by people who don't feel like it. How many of us would ever get out of bed in the morning and go to work? See what I'm saying? And he wasn't being insensitive. It was true. It's just that many of us do everything in our power to go through life avoiding any situation that's potentially uncomfortable or unpleasant. And I would just challenge you to really look at that and see how it prevents you and keeps you from growing, from learning, experiencing what God really wants to give to all of us. Happiness is not the pursuit of pleasure or the avoidance of pain. So where then is happiness found? Well, I think, first of all, happiness is found in purposeful living. Purposeful living. You know, in these simple sayings about blessedness or happiness, think about a biblical scholar, Jim Forrest, at one time asked Rabbi Stephen Schwarzschild, he asked him, how do you translate the word blessed here in the Beatitudes? And the rabbi thought about it for a moment, and he said, well, I don't think there's one word that is sufficient. But he said, for me, it's something like, you're on the right path. You're on the way the Creator wants you to go. So that's what we're going to be talking about in these Beatitudes, is how we don't really arrive, but we're on that right path. We're on that path. In these simple sayings about blessedness, I think Jesus is saying here, if you do this, you're going the right direction. That to be humble and meek and to be able to be a peacemaker and to face adversity, all of those things, it means that you're on the right road. A sense of purpose about life. There's a direction that you're going is essential to happiness. I think so many times people aren't happy because they don't feel like their life has any purpose, you know? They're lost and they're wandering. And Jesus is saying that it's in these things that you find purpose. H. Wallace Hamilton told about a young soldier in the Civil War who got sick on the battlefield. He was taken to the rear, to the hospital tent, to recuperate. And while he was lying there on the cot, running a high fever, he kept pleading to the physician, "Doctor, please don't tell me that I'm not fit for duty. Don't tell me I can't go back. It's only a touch of fever, Doc. The sound of the bugle will make me well again." You see what he was saying? The sound of the bugle. Something to go out and fight for, to live for, will make me well again. Thomas Huxley once said, he said, "The sense of uselessness is the severest shock which our system can sustain." Sense of uselessness is the severest shock which our system can sustain. Conversely, when we have a sense of purpose to live for, a purpose that is high and noble, our whole being is enhanced and uplifted. And that's the first thing I think that happiness is and can be derived from these teachings from our Lord. Happiness is found in giving ourselves to a high and noble purpose. But then the second thing is that happiness is found in being people-oriented. Indeed, I think such terms as meekness and merciful and being pure of heart, to me, suggest a willingness to subordinate our desires for the well-being of those around us. Again, I ask you to not misunderstand. We're not talking about, when we talk about meek and merciful, we're not talking about being a doormat for people to walk upon. There was a time when it seemed that Christians believed that joy could be acoustically spelled Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Somehow that order has been reversed, where people put themselves first. Many of you perhaps read the cartoon strip Kathy. It was one quite some time ago about an impressive conversation between Kathy and Andrea. And Kathy says, "You know, when I was little, I put my own needs first. And everybody said I was being selfish and inconsiderate. Now everybody says I'm supposed to put my own needs first." And Andrea says, "That's right, Kathy. Putting your own needs first is one of the most important things you can do to maintain your self-respect." And Kathy looks very sad as she asks, "Well, how can I have any self-respect if I'm being selfish and inconsiderate?" You know, Kathy hit the nail on the thumb. Christ has been rightfully called a man for others. My friends, we cannot be all that God wants us to be if we're always centered upon ourselves. And lastly, happiness is found in a passion for God. The great missionary, writer, evangelist E. Stanley Jones counted himself as one of the happiest people alive. And he one time wrote in his book, he said, I gasp in surprise and wonder. Life is working and working with rhythm and joy. And I asked myself, how did it happen? He said, I was sitting in a hotel room in Alaska writing, and I looked up and I saw myself in the mirror. And I said to myself, Stanley Jones, you're a happy man, aren't you? And I replied, yes, I am. It's all a surprise to me, a growing surprise. I walked across a field one day and I stubbed my toe against the edge of a treasure chest jutting out of the earth. It's a treasure, I cried. And I ran off and I sold all I had, including myself, and I bought that field. And I love this phrase. And I've been hugging myself ever since. And I had sense enough to do it. That treasure was, of course, E.G. Stanley Stone's commitment to Jesus Christ. Are you having fun yet? Are you truly happy? Are you really able, in the best sense of the word, to hug yourself? It starts there. But God through Jesus Christ has opened His arms to embrace you and to love you. Today, as we close our service, we share together that embrace through the blessed sacrament of the Holy of Communion. So today, as we gather around this table, and as you come, I hope all of us will, let this be a meal of accepting yourself as God has accepted you. Let us pray. Lord, this day as we enter into this time of meditation, reflection, sharing, and celebration, we pray that as we come to this table, that we will be truly repentant in heart, that we will repent, accept your salvation, but also at the same time, knowing so much lies within our heart that prevents us from entering into a life of your kingdom of true happiness and joy. We take these ordinary elements of bread and wine. We ask your blessings upon it and upon those who come to receive. May we experience your love in a new and a fresh way. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you will be helping and serving communion if you'll come now. And as they come, we'll be serving communion in stations. So as you come down the middle aisle and go outward and return to your seat. And we ask that you do come. You don't have to be a member. Maybe you'll be here for the first time, but please know that you're welcome to come. Would you stand for our benediction? God, we thank you for everybody that's here, and for what they mean to me, what they mean to your kingdom. Well, we thank you for the church here, for its ministries. Lord, for all that wonderful sound and racket that's coming in the atrium, for all the wonderful things your Spirit is doing in our life. But as we leave, May we as your people, of all people, be happy. Start having some fun. Experience an exhilaration of joy of being called by your name. Now go forth in His name. Amen.